Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Acts 2. We are so thankful that each and every one of you are here with us this morning. Real quick, if you are new with us or maybe visiting for the first or second time, my name is Mike Gokenauer. I'm the pastor here at Acts 2, and I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful that each and every one of you are here. And also a quick note, in case you didn't notice, there is a bus parked outside. There's a bus. It's big. It's red. It's from the Red Cross. Today we are having a blood drive here at Acts 2, and while we are very much on mission to partner up with Jesus to help save lives, this is one way that we're partnering to physically help save lives through the Red Cross. And so if you haven't signed up, it's no worries. The bus is here. You can just check in at the table after service and sign up for your chance to also help save a life. But like I mentioned, if you are visiting with us the first or second time, in the very back of the room, typically on Sunday mornings, we do have some sort of breakfast item. Just so you know, in case you don't necessarily like the sermon so much, next week you can come back and get breakfast, and at least we feed you. But then also in the back is our welcome table. And so if you take a moment to visit the welcome table, we do have a Connect card. We ask that you just fill one of those out. We've got a little bit of a welcome gift for you. But we just want you guys to have a chance to get to know us, and we want to have a chance to get to know you as well. And here we are now on our first Sunday in November. Man, it's crazy. This year is just flying by, it seems. It feels like it was just yesterday I was walking through the doors for the first time. In case you don't know, I started with X2 here at the beginning of January. But it feels like it was just yesterday. I was joining everybody, and here we are, November 3rd already. That's crazy. And so here, with November 3rd, we are, kind of mentioned earlier in the announcements, we're starting something that we just want to make sure that we are thankful. You know, we're in a season of moving towards Thanksgiving, and we want to be thankful for everything that God provides and everything that that He tells us and everything He promises. And so if you follow our Facebook or you follow our Instagram, there's going to be daily posts on something to be thankful for. But if in case you don't, in the back at the welcome table, we have a calendar for you to post up on your refrigerator or wherever you can see that daily to remember to be thankful. But November 3rd, as we move into November, we are wrapping up our series today on Proverbs. Today, specifically, we're going to be looking at Proverbs 8 and 9. But we're wrapping up this series where we've been talking about what it means to pursue wisdom. Week 1, when we kicked off the series, we really kind of talked about how we need to pursue godly wisdom. And not only how to pursue that, and really we started on this process of how pursuing wisdom really starts with one small decision at a time. One small decision will snowball to pursuing wisdom in your big decisions. You know, and then week 2, one of our elders, Chris, he shared with us on chapters 2 and 4, and we looked at a little bit how the author of Proverbs started defining what wisdom is, defining wisdom and going even more on how to pursue it. And then last week we talked about something that that traps a lot of us, traps a lot of the world, traps a lot of society and culture on this whole idea that sex sells. And so we talked about sexual sin and some of the ways that Satan and evil will use that desire to pull us away from God and destroy relationships in our lives. And today, as we wrap up our series on Proverbs, we're gonna talk more about discernment, how to discern between wisdom and foolishness. And we're going to look at that a little bit more. Before we get into today's message, though, let's just take a moment and pray for our eyes and hearts to be open for what God wants to reveal to us. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you for your promises. We thank you for your wisdom. We thank you for your truth. Father, we thank you for the people that you place in our lives to help us pursue wisdom. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for every single person here with us this morning. Father, we just want to pray for all of those that may not be with us this morning, that God, that they may just have an opportunity to dig into your word, learn more about you, and learn more about what it means to pursue your wisdom. Father, we just pray for the Holy Spirit to stir within our hearts, stir within our minds, stir within our souls. The message that you have prepared for us today speaks truth, speaks life into us. And God, it convicts us to move into a new direction. Father, we thank you for your son Jesus and all that he was. We pray all these things in his holy name. Amen. So some of you may know this week there were some tough decisions in my household. Some of you may know this, some of you may not, but there were two specific, pretty major decisions that I had to make. It's all started, the major one, the first one that I made this week, really kind of started several months ago, but, you know, I kind of push it off, and finally came to the point where, you know, something had to be done. All of you guys know that I had a pickup. I love my pickup. I love driving a full-size pickup. And this truck, just over the last several months, you know, six months or so, started showing me some signs that it was kind of reaching its last leg. More recently, within the last couple weeks, it started showing me a little bit more that, you know, it's I'm on the home stretch here, buddy. And so, you know, really was kind of leading down this road where, you know, the transmission started going out. And, you know, honestly, it was a 12-year-old vehicle with 120,000+ miles. And the cost of replacing a transmission is just more than what it's worth. And so while there was still some value in it, I was kind of faced with a decision. You know, do I trade it in or do I just kind of ride it out until it dies? You know, in a household with a preacher and a teacher, you know, we're not breaking any banks. We're not like lottery kind of money, you know, here. And so that was a decision that we were being faced with. Well, what do we do? So Monday we went in and I traded in my truck. So I traded in my truck and, we got an SUV and, you know, time will really tell whether or not that was a wise decision or not, but, you know, we'll see. And then also, this past week, faced with another decision, one that just happened in the middle of the night. And so, you know, you're not fully coherent, at the time. And, I woke up because my wife had passed out, and I heard her fall from passing out, and so that woke me up. I got to her, tried to get her a response. She wasn't responding right away. Finally she started talking with me, but it wasn't she wasn't all there. She was very much covered in sweat, and just, you know, it just was not right. And so here I was faced with a decision. You know, I'm trying to get her to come around. Like, what do I do? Do I just get her loaded up in the car and we go to the hospital, or do I bite the bullet and call 911? You know, it seemed very obvious at the time. I went ahead and called 911. Paramedics came, and we spent the evening in the hospital. So thankful that we've got first responders to be able to help and take care of those situations, that are trained for it. So thankful that that it was super fast response, and super thankful that overall everything kind of checked out. I'll get into that a little bit more here in a moment. But those were some pretty major decisions. And so naturally I started reflecting on this, you know, as two in 1 week, I started reflecting on this. What do we do, or do we take enough time to properly evaluate on how we make decisions? Or do we reflect on the process that we might go through, what goes through our mind when we come up to decisions, whether they're small or they're major? Are we properly weighing the pros and cons? You know, and like I mentioned with the vehicle, and many times we don't necessarily know within the process. It's one of these things that time will really tell whether or not it's a wise or a foolish decision. But the question is how do we discern in the moment on whether or not we're making a wise or foolish decision? And Proverbs 8 and 9 really talk a lot about this. And so I'm excited to get into it, excited to share with what God has revealed to me through reading these. But God's Word, as I dug into it more, including Proverbs, including these two chapters, really kind of describe two directions. You know, I alluded to them. It's either wise or foolish. There are two directions that can be taken when we make decisions. You know, we either make a wise one or we make a foolish one. In Proverbs, specifically within these two chapters, the term folly is used quite a bit. Well, folly is really another word for foolishness. And Proverbs is really presenting foolishness as wisdom's counterpart. And so the first several chapters of Proverbs is talking about wisdom and pursuing God's wisdom and these truths. But then we see folly being presented as the counterpart to wisdom. Specifically in a couple verses here in Proverbs 8:21, it says, "Wisdom is described as a companion who will lead people to prosperity." Now, when we say that, what we need to be careful of is what prosperity means. Prosperity doesn't necessarily mean, you know, the health and wealth that the world would define as prosperity. But in reality, what it's talking about is prosperity of the soul. You know, the joy that comes from surrender and serving Christ. You know, and the presentation of folly within Proverbs kind of describes it as an adulterous or wayward woman who preys on foolish men that allow their desires to rule them. That's the counterpart of wisdom. In Proverbs 9:18, it goes on and describes folly as leading unsuspecting to their death. Leading the unsuspecting to their death. And again, when we see this, you know, naturally we are to think physical death. While, of course, foolishness can lead to physical death, really in what this is referenced to is your spiritual death. And so while we're looking here at Proverbs 8 through 9, and one thing, I don't know if you've caught on quite a bit yet while we've been going through this series, is both wisdom and folly are being described as feminine, or as using pronouns that that are in female by nature. And so what I want to make note of is about this, is that what this is a direct correlation between the original text. You see, the English language isn't quite as easily translated from some of the other languages that exist in the world. And so here what we're seeing with this is that in the original Hebrew language, these words, the words for wisdom, are feminine grammatically. And so naturally, when you're talking about an abstract idea like wisdom, and then projecting it onto a person or thing, you know, you have to use a proper pronoun, right? And so when the word itself is grammatically feminine, it's got to use a pronoun that correlates, just to make it fit within our English language, right? And so, you know, as I mention that, and I kind of share a little bit about how that is translated, as much as I would like to admit that, you know, our wives are the wise ones, you know, or that our moms or the females in our lives are the wise ones, you know, really, I got to apologize and just suggest that the principles being taught here are for all of us. They are for both men and women, and either one of us can be wise or foolish. And that's exactly why we have one Bible for all of us. We don't have one that speaks to women. We don't have one that speaks to men and leaves out the parts. No, all the principles that we see within Scripture are speaking to all of us. And that's what's important for us to take note. And so going back to this original question, what is it or how do we discern correctly between wisdom and foolishness? Think about the thought process that you might go through when you're faced with a decision, whether it's small or whether it's big. You all go through some sort of thought process. And choosing right and choosing wrong, you know, sometimes it isn't seen right away, but choosing right or choosing wrong really is sometimes one of those hardest things to do. I'm still trying to figure out whether or not I made the right choice to trade in my truck. Choosing right or choosing wrong can want to be one of the hardest things that we ever have to do. Sometimes, you know, in those situations, sometimes the wise choice isn't so obvious. You know, like I was mentioning with my truck, you know, I still wonder if I made the right decision in trading it in. You know, here I had something paid off, you know, it had some rust issues, you know, it had 120,000 plus miles. You know, it was definitely showing signs that it was about to wrap up its life. Then I went and traded it in for a nice new shiny car payment. You know, and so I don't know, if I made the right decision yet. Time will tell, you know, but it was a difficult decision, one that we had many conversations about. You know, we're still kind of split a little bit about it. You know, but it was a tough decision. And then sometimes the wise choice is much more obvious. You know, for me, example, when I discover Aaron in the middle of the night, you know, that was a decision that, you know, I could have easily allowed that thought of, you know, hey, I just got a new car payment. I can't afford an ambulance ride. But man, if it would have been something major, how foolish would that have been if I didn't get professional attention right away? Something that could have affected her life. Forever. And while I'm super thankful to God for the answered prayers between my house all the way to the hospital as I'm falling in the ambulance, I'm so thankful that that those prayers were answered and nothing major happened. Man, it could have been the opposite way. It could have been a foolish decision if I would have let something else deter me from a wise one. And so sometimes those choices are much more obvious, or maybe something a little more lighthearted, the obvious choice of Chick-fil-A over Canes. Come on. There are some times that they are obvious choices, and sometimes they're not so obvious. We face decisions all the time in our life. All the time in our lives. We face decisions when we woke up this morning. Are we going to go to church or are we not going to go to church? Are we going to eat before we go? Are we going to see what kind of deliciousness is at church? You know, we are faced with decisions all the time. And we are always given the option of choosing wise or choosing folly. You know, for parents in the room, or maybe college students or young adults, one of the decisions that that I see quite a bit in talking with some younger people is really we know that getting a good night's rest is very important for how we approach the next day. You know, as parents, you're constantly telling your children, like, hey, your bedtime is a certain time, you need to get plenty of sleep. Like, you know all these things. And it's so much easier to be able to project that wisdom onto our children. But then maybe, you know, as you start moving into being a teenager or college student or, you know, young adult here, sometimes we say, you know what, I've only got three more episodes in that amazing series I've been binge watching. And we choose that instead of what we know the wise choice to be. And while that may be a small decision, it still has consequences, right? It still has an effect on your life. And so how do we discern these decisions? These sometimes that are difficult decisions, sometimes they're not so difficult, but sometimes we see the wise choice but still choose the foolish one. We see these sometimes. And the thing is that sometimes both options prepare or project themselves or deliver themselves as both having such appealing nature that it's hard to discern. It's really hard to know which one is wise and which one isn't. And so why does it become so difficult for us to discern wisdom versus foolishness? Why has it become so difficult? You know, despite the differences, you know, hindsight, right? They say hindsight is 20/20. It's always easy to look back and say, you know what, maybe that one wasn't so wise, or maybe that one was wise. And so what we're trying to do as we study Proverbs, as what we're trying to do as a group, just journey towards wisdom, the wisdom that God provides, to where when we're faced with decisions, no matter how big or how small, we're taking a moment to try to discern what the wise choice may be. And so despite the differences, as Scripture describes it, between wisdom and folly or foolishness, you know, we see that sometimes they are presented in similar fashions. Because, you know, there's a battle for your heart every single day, every single decision. There's a battle for your life. There's a battle for your soul. And so naturally, the foolish options are going to battle for your life as well. They're gonna come across as appealing to you sometimes. And specifically in Proverbs 8:2, chapter 9, verse 3, and chapter 9, verse 14, it describes a little bit of what we're talking about. Both wisdom and foolishness are described as setting themselves in the high places of the city. Now, that may not really feel like much as you're reading through it, but understanding some culture, some context, will help us. And so what it's important to note on here is that what is happening here is within the original context of this, in the Near East, the highest points of the city were reserved for the temple. Now the temples, those were reserved to be the deities' houses. And so in ancient Near East, the highest point of the city was reserved for the temple. And so what happens here is when Proverbs refers to wisdom and describes wisdom, it says that she stands primarily for God's wisdom, which means that ultimately wisdom stands for God himself. And then when folly is talked about, folly's house is described being at the highest point. What this is in reference to is the other deities or idols that are trying to claim us. You know, in biblical times when there were so many other religions and there were so many other deities that were battling or worshipped, this is a reference to those other deities. Now in 2019, they look a lot different, right? Like we don't have a separate God of war or God of peace or a God of all these other things, a God of love. Like, we don't have all these other ones. We have one true God. And so when it references folly's house being at the highest point in the city as well, it's referring to the things that you allow to sit on the throne in your heart. We've been talking about this stuff for a long time. referring to what we allow to distract us from God's wisdom, the one true God. You know, in this representation, so it describes both houses being on the highest part of the city. This representation, this picture, this visualization is one that is telling us that we have a choice to make. We can either choose wisdom or we can choose foolishness. And we are presented with that option in every decision we make. Then further along in Proverbs 9, verse 4, and then also 9, verse 16, it says that both call out to the simple to come to their respective houses. This is what I mean when I say that even the foolishness is going to feel appealing to you sometimes. This is where it's important for us to pursue wisdom. And not only do so, but we do that with others that can help us hold ourselves accountable. Help hold each other accountable for foolish decisions. This is why we have home groups. So we can pursue wisdom together and have a group of people on that same pursuit that can help us discern between wisdom and foolishness. This is why when we spend more time pursuing wisdom, the easier and easier it becomes to become habitual in our lives. This is where it makes the difficult decisions, where it's not so clear on the wise decision, it makes it a little easier for us. It makes it a little more clear for us. The thing is the more that we answer the call of the foolishness, the more that we answer and fall into the appeal of the foolish decisions, the more it takes over your life. The more and more and easier it becomes to say things, well, it's not really hurting anybody. It's only this one time. I'll change next week. It's easier it is to justify making foolish decisions. Wisdom and folly are both calling loudly for your heart, for your mind, for your soul. Both can look very appealing, especially if we don't practice wisdom in our lives. Especially if we do not pursue godly wisdom. As we grow as humans, as we grow spiritually, as we grow together in relationships and pursue this wisdom, pursue godly wisdom, the easier it's going to be to approach decisions with discipline and discernment. See, this discipline and discernment leads to one of the fruits of the Spirit, self-control. Self-control leads to more rational thoughts, more wise decisions rather than emotional impulses. See, it would have been easy to go and get the newest vehicle, the shiniest one with all the bells and whistles and all the things that that might seem appealing in a new vehicle. But the wise decision isn't to take on another $800, $1,000 car payment for those things. These wise choices, as we pursue this and think more rationally versus emotional impulses, self-control is going to lead us to that discipline that allows us to kind of pump the brakes. Pump the brakes when a wise choice may not seem so apparent. When it doesn't seem like the wise choice is rising above so much in the moment. To seek this wisdom here in James 1, verse 5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. So how do you pursue this? First and foremost, you got to ask God. In the decisions that are difficult, in the decisions that maybe even seem easy, ask God. If you lack wisdom, ask God. And what that does is as we're pursuing God, as we're pursuing God to implement more wisdom into our lives and doing this with others around us, what comes from that is we're going to lead down a path of spiritual maturity. We're going to spiritually grow. And naturally, you know, as we have some babies in the room and you start thinking about the physical maturity that happens, you start going then from milk to baby food to solid food. And here, Hebrews 5:14 specifically references this maturity process. And it says, but solid food is for the mature. For those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Seek God first. Mature spiritually to constantly practice discernment between wisdom and foolishness in your life. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you. We humbly come before you, God, and just ask that that you open our eyes to wisdom. Open our eyes to the pursuit of wise over folly. God, we just ask that today we make decisions that that are going to be asking you for everything, asking you about everything, presenting every decision to you. Father, we just ask for commitment today. Commitment in surrender to you and your wisdom, and surrender to joining others in that journey. Help us hold each other accountable. Our Father, we just pray that as we just progress through life, God, that we are pursuing a spiritual maturity that leads to this wisdom. God, that we no longer become simple where folly owns us, where foolishness becomes appealing. Father, we just thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for your truths, for your wisdom. And we thank you for the network of people that come around us to help us pursue wisdom. Father, you are the source. You are the source of wisdom. You are the source of love. You are the source of hope. And Father, we just bow down before you today. Say, God, as we progress through the week, as we progress through our life, we just seek to input more of your wisdom in everything we do. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, and the sacrifice that he was, so we could pursue this wisdom and bridge the gap that sin has created between us and you. We pray all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.